I just got a call from my daughter, and she and I have had a relationship where I introduced her to mindfulness at a very, very young age. She was probably between 9 and 10. And as I learned more about mindfulness and Buddhist practices, I was able to share things with her, and very, very grateful for that. And what is interesting about it is that has happened is that now when she is struggling, she's in her mid-20s and lives in a different state, quite a ways away from me, that she will call me at times when she is really, really struggling. And she's told me numerous times that I am the person when the shit really hits the fan, when things really get difficult, that I'm the person that she tends to call, which I appreciate that, and that's all well and good, and I'm very grateful for that. As, you know, parents, you know, get older, and as their kids are grown and have lives of their own, sometimes it's a little difficult to find where you fit in your child's life. So I'm very grateful for that. But the point of this, what I'm really focusing on this morning, is that she called me and she has always struggled with her body image and has always struggled with, you know, how she feels about how she looks. She's very, you know, into fitness. And there's a tendency to get very caught up in how she feels like she is doing in terms of her, you know, exercise and taking care of her body. And there's a lot of focus on that. And I completely respect it as someone who has struggled with their weight all their life. I definitely appreciate that. And I'm certainly, you know, with her in that struggle. But what is interesting about this is that she and I have had, and I just realized that after I hung up with her this morning, she and I have had almost the same conversation over and over and over again. Not every day, not every week, and not even every month sometimes, but we've had the same conversation. And I'm saying this really in a positive way. This is not, you know, I don't want this to be taken that I'm complaining about that, but it is actually very enlightening to realize that this is a conversation that takes place with astonishing regularity. And what I realized this morning is there were times in the past where I would get very frustrated with her. I would literally say to her, she would call me and the conversation would go kind of like this, you know, hey, Dad, I'm struggling with this, X, Y, Z, whatever that is. And then it would be basically, you know, and then I would explain to her, you need to return back to being mindful. You need to return back to being aware and mindful of how you are feeling right now. That you are, you know, and I would tell her, I always use the phrase, you know, catching yourself in the act of whatever it is. And there's all kinds of thoughts that we can have, and they range from the sublime to the ridiculous about how we, you know, whatever emotions are coming up or whatever is happening in our lives. And so I very regularly would say, you know, Hillary, you should be catching yourself in the act of, here you go again, you're doing it again. And there would be times when it would happen and I would get very frustrated with her. And I literally would think to myself, we're having the same conversation over, and she might call me about the same thing, you know, 15 or 20 times a year, and we'll have, you know, I will go through the process with her of helping her return back from the trance that she's caught up in, helping her to, you know, let go of her believing the story that she's telling herself about what is happening to her, or being able to see through her belief that how she feels is reality or the truth, because many times it isn't. And we'll go through this process, and it will range anywhere from, you know, 10 to 20 minutes. And sometimes she'll fight me every step of the way, and sometimes she'll get very frustrated with me when I'm trying to explain to her, you know what, hey, I understand that you think this is real. I understand this feels very real. And sometimes these things are, you know, things are really happening. I'm not disputing that I'm not trying to say they're not happening as far as the external events or what's going on with her. But what I'm trying to get across to her is it's, you know, what's tripping you up, what's causing you pain, what's causing you suffering is what you believe about this, what you're telling yourself about this. And in her case, and I'm the same way, that in many cases, if not almost all cases, I feel like the victim. She feels like the victim. And she called me this morning, and this was a similar issue that she has struggled with. She's on her way to work. She's really stressed out about it. It's not nearly as big of a problem or an emergency as she thinks that it is, but I'm not saying that out of disrespect. I am saying that out of love and compassion, because I do the same thing. We're having this conversation, and I might as well have been talking to myself. And the thing is, what's interesting about the relationship is I can't call her and expect her to do that for me, because that's not her role. That's not who she is. And that's okay. It took me a long time to realize that we have different relationships in our lives. And with some relationships, you know, we're the person that people call when they're struggling and they need us. And then in my case, I have people I can call on when I'm struggling. So to get back to the point of this, is that it's very easy to get frustrated with ourselves and with others, because when we struggle emotionally, when we're caught up in the story of telling ourselves what we think is happening, there's a tendency to forget that usually these are struggles that tend to come up over and over and over again. We all have various themes in our lives, various things that trip us up and cause us difficulty, and they don't just go away generally. They tend to come back up. And in order to find the key, I believe, of this is to be willing to do the work, to be willing to, because sometimes we may not have that person available. The person that we normally call on, the person or people that we call on, may not be available. And we certainly don't want to lean on them and not do the work ourselves. And I've kind of, developed a phrase for myself. I can fill in the blank of any of my friends' names or acquaintances that, you know, that I know that I can call on when I'm struggling. And it's basically, you know, be your own, whoever's name it is. And I have to sometimes look myself in the mirror when there's not someone available, you know, that I can seek out for help and helping me deal with, to, you know, with coming out of the trance of believing, you know, something that's going on. I have to be my own person. I have to be my own friend that does that for me. And I think at the end of the day that while I don't want to say that it's the idea here is to become an island and to become, you know, completely self-sufficient, because I don't think any of us can be, but I do think that it is very important to be able to develop the ability, and that's really where the practice comes in. I mean, I constantly have people ask me, you know, why do I have to continue to sit and meditate? Why do I have to continue to sit with these various feelings that come up and my thoughts about them? Why do I have to continue to be still? Why do I have to do this? I mean, if I do this for the next 20 years, what's going to happen? How is it going to help? And I think the way that I could sum it up best is the way that it helps is it's just not something that we generally do naturally. I'm not going to say that there's not anyone in the world who doesn't do this naturally. But I think in most cases, most of us require training in this endeavor. We have to be able to practice being still in the middle of our lives, you know, choosing a time and doing it however we do it. There's no right or wrong way. There's no right way to sit. There's no right way to... Some people like to do guided meditation where they listen to someone talking. Some people tend to meditate quietly. And I'm not saying that there's any right way. That's just, I think that it's best to try a lot of different ways and a lot of different, you know, forms of practice and find what works. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, whatever road leads us to where we want to be. And I think, at least for me, I'm not going to say that it's a goal, because I really try not to be goal-oriented about this. This isn't, you know, something like a home improvement project. And it's not, certainly not a self-improvement project. The idea here is not to improve myself. The idea is to lessen my suffering so that I can actually help lessen the suffering of others. I can't do this for anyone or help anyone unless I am helping myself first. And what I realize is that sometimes in our lives we're going to have people who, you know, call on us for various reasons, and it's very easy to get frustrated with them. And when that happens, I think that's also basically, you know, what they refer to as grist for the mill. That's more stuff to work with. When my daughter calls me and I'm frustrated with her and I'm like, oh my gosh, we've had this conversation 1,000 times. Why are you still, you know, there's that tendency to get upset. And I've done it to her before. And it's an indication to me when I'm feeling that way, the problem is not with her, it's with me. There's something that I have not done that I need to do to take care of me. If I don't have the bandwidth and the willingness to be there for her, because I've committed to doing that and I want to do that. That's something I want to do. And if I don't have the ability to do it, and if I instead find myself frustrated, then it's really on me to take care of myself and to sit with those feelings of frustration. And I've had to go through that numerous times. But it's really, to me, it's very instructive that this life, we all seem to have, you know, some very common themes. And we all have different ones, but we all tend to have our own set of these. And these things tend to come up more often than we sometimes realize. And they will continue to. Because we all each have, you know, different lives, different circumstances, different karmic, you know, predicaments that we find ourselves in, different karmic backgrounds, and we've all, we've all cooked the recipe just a, you know, we've cooked using a different, little bit of a different recipe as far as our lives are concerned, and we all have these things that come up, and I just want to say that there's no need to be discouraged by that. It's actually, I think in my mind, it's a blessing to have these things that come up repetitively, because sometimes we're not aware of them until they do come up more often than not. That's how we become aware of them. We don't necessarily always like what it is that we see when these things come up. We don't necessarily always like the way in which we see ourselves in these particular scenarios that come up over and over again. But that's okay. It is possible to sit with those feelings of not liking, you know, where we find ourselves, of not liking ourselves in this particular situation, and realizing that the more that we fight it, the more that we run away from it, the more it's going to keep happening. And that the only way, and I said it to my daughter this morning, I literally, when she yelled and screamed at me and said, "Dad, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be mindful this morning. I don't want to do this." And I told her, I said, "Well, that's okay, because eventually, that's all right. You can, and if you feel like you don't want to do that, then you are, you know, completely welcome to not, you know, to not do that." And I'm just going to let her, you know, sit with that. And as I said to her, the only way out of this is through it. And I really do believe that. I don't think we, you know, running the other way and avoiding it, while we can do that, and I respect and understand why people do, and I've certainly done it myself many, many times, and I'm sure I will do it again. But I know that in this case, these things will continue to keep, you know, these things will keep showing up. And the only way to deal with it, I believe, is to heal it. And the only way to heal it is to be aware of it, to be aware of how I feel, to be aware of how I'm letting it make me feel, and to really look closely at the thoughts that I'm having about it. And that's the only way I can ever determine, you know, what is true and what is not true. It's the only way I can heal it is by taking a look at it, putting it all out on the table, laying it all out, and as ugly as it is to do sometimes, just being willing to do that work. And you know, having compassion and love for ourselves and for others, I think it's the only way. And to recognize that when we see behavior in other people that frustrates us, then it's usually pointing to something within ourselves that we're seeing. And it's okay. I think that it's just a matter of working with it and being there, you know, for others when we can, and doing that, you know, in a mindful way. I clearly realize there are people, if they have not practiced mindfulness, I'm not advocating starting to talk to people in this way if they have not been exposed to this. And I'm certainly not advocating that it's anyone's responsibility to go out in the world and try to convince people to do this. I'm not saying that. I don't think that's for me to be doing. But I think at the end of the day, when we have people who we know understand these concepts and have developed a practice to a certain degree, I don't know what the answer is for people who haven't. That is and yet, as I sit here and think about it, I guess I really don't know. And I'm just, in this case, I'm just going to have to sit with that one. I don't know what the answer is. I'm certainly not a licensed therapist or counselor or mental health professional. So I think in this case, I'm going to limit this to, either how we deal with ourselves or how we deal with others who, you know, have been exposed to mindfulness and have developed some awareness of how they trip themselves up and cause themselves unnecessary suffering. I'll leave the rest of it to people who are much more qualified than myself.